I've just finished these tours for the president on the domestic council. We've gone to six cities and had these hearings, and they all want to see the federal government cut back the bureaucracy, the red tape. They're fed up with it and really getting to a point where they feel that Washington's the problem instead of the place where you go to get answers.
Do you think, though, that the president was not doing something that was really what is politically expedient? I mean, after all, if the American people might be expecting a tax increase next year and President Ford wants to get reelected in 76, it would not seem to be particularly politically
expedient. Yeah, but he recommended a $28 billion tax cut, not a $18 billion tax cut. So he's recommended a bigger tax cut, but he wants it tied to a spending cut.
Would you have done that if you had been president at this time?
Listen, you can't tell what you do. All of these things come slowly, step by step. They're complicated. Not president. I don't have the responsibility. I'm a staff assistant to the president, so that it would be impossible to try and, at this point, say, what would you do after you've been dealing with problems for a year?
Well, you have taken stands on various issues, including New York City, on the energy bill. You spoke out against it, although the president's aide were encouraging him to sign it. What about the tax bill, though? What do you think of it? Do you believe that...
Well, this is virtually the same as the bill he signed last year. It was a one-year bill, see, so that's finished. Now the president said, look, we're spending too much, we've overpromised, we've underdelivered, so we got to start to cut back. And he tied the two together. This whole battle is this struggle between the president and the Congress is over the question, will you tie tax cut and then put a spending ceiling on? But to put a tax cut on and not put a ceiling on expenditures means we're going to have a larger deficit. We get back into inflation, and this hits...
But you won't tell us your opinion or what you think.
Oh, I agree with him on this business of spending and inflation.
Mr. Vice President,
one of the most serious things we've got. It's insidious. It's the most vicious tax. It hits the senior citizens. It hits people on retirement, people on fixed salaries. And he's trying to keep inflation. And this is... One can't isolate these problems, see.
Mr. Vice President, you said that you will not campaign for the president in New Hampshire or Florida. Why did you say that? And would you be willing to campaign for him in perhaps Illinois and Massachusetts?
Well, I said I would campaign for the president. He's my candidate. Now, I got asked about New Hampshire and Florida. His campaign manager said that I was a liability to him. Why would anyone want to campaign in an area where his manager thinks that you're a liability? Then if anything happened, they'd say, well, it was only because you went there.
Well, what about Massachusetts and Illinois? You wouldn't be a liability there,
well,
would you?
Don't cross bridges till I get to them. So that I want to help him in any way I can.
Mr. Vice President, Bruce Morton in Washington, you had some difficulties before you took yourself out of the vice presidential race in 76 with Mr. Ford's campaign manager, Howard Calloway. Now the president seems to be having some trouble. Mr. Calloway went south last weekend and got a lot of people mad at him. Does the president need some new leadership in his campaign?
Were you able to hear the question?
No.
You weren't?
I can't hear his name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear Bruce now? Bruce, can you...
No, you go ahead, Connie. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. Bruce was just asking about Mr. Calloway and the fact that you had some problems with Bo Calloway before the president's campaign manager, and now Mr. Ford seems to be having some problems because Mr. Calloway was saying many things in Houston recently, and what are
you...
Well,
I had no problems with him. He was picked by the White House as the president's campaign manager. So the president picked me on there to help the country through him and help him, or help him and help through him the country. And I just didn't want to cause any difficulties, so I didn't want to get involved in squabbles of a minority, as I said, of a minority. So I just figured I had said right along that I wasn't a candidate for 76 for the vice presidency, that he ought to make his decision after he was nominated. And so all I did was just put it in writing and make it clear.
Well, Mr. Calloway also has said that he thinks that President Ford will win in New Hampshire and Florida.
That's right.
How much trouble do you think President Ford would be in if he did not win those two early primaries?
Well, I don't think it would be very significant.
Why not?
because I remember going through New Hampshire primary myself back in, what was it, 64, to Senator Goldwater, and Ambassador Cabot Lodge, who'd been senator, he was out in Vietnam as ambassador to Vietnam, and he wasn't even on the ballot, and he won. That's a crazy thing up there. Now, Barry went on to win the primaries in other states. He went on to win the nomination. So I really think that it's... how many primaries we got now? I don't know how these people are going to cope with them.
You
just physically, though. I don't know how somebody can go around campaign, what, 39 states now, or are we up above that?
So just about there, I believe.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Barry Goldwater, and he says that you might resign as vice president and run for president if Mr. Ford loses next year's early primaries. Do you think that's an outrageous thought?
Well, it's not one that I've had.
It isn't. You have not thought of that at all. Never entered your mind.
No, ma'am.
Let me ask you one thing. Earlier this year,
I said right along, I got 12 months to go as vice president.
True. But you have not ruled out the possibility that you might be a candidate in 76 for president, correct?
Well, I don't think that in life there's any point in trying to make hard and fast positions on situations that you can't anticipate.
Well, earlier this year, if you recall, I'm sure you'll remember this incident, you said that you were not one of the rising stars who would compete for the presidency, and you cited your age as a reason why. Do you still believe that?
Yeah, I think there's lots of, I've said right along, lots of rising stars in the party, and I think it's great. And this is the wonderful thing that people still want to be president in this country after all of the problems and the headaches that every president seems to have had in recent years.
So what are you saying? Are you not one of the rising stars who would compete for the presidency, or are you one of those who is still interested in facing
those problems? I've got to tell you that I have been around. I wouldn't define it as a star, but I've been around for quite a while in this business. I think I understand government at all levels, and have been in government at all levels with as much interest as anybody. I'm concerned about this country. I would be very happy, and always will be, to serve this country in any capacity, and there are great many capacities you can help. I love this country. This is the most wonderful country in the world. We've got lots of problems. I think they're all soluble.
Well, you cited, though, at that time, your age is one of the problems that would...
I don't think I've ever cited it as a problem.
Well,
I think you added that, if you don't mind, because you're so young, see? So that this
excuse
is natural
me, perhaps
for you.
I
think that was something you added. I said there were lots of rising stars in the party.
And you cited your age as one of the reasons why you would not be a competing factor for the presidency in
1980, if you remember our discussion.
In 1980,
yeah,
and in 1976?
Yeah, it was not 1976 I was talking about.
All right, what about 1976?
I have absolutely no plans, no considerations of any kind.
But then age would not be a consideration for 1976.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Vice President, what about the philosophical drift that the Ford administration is taking? Do you think that Mr. Ford is being pushed too far to the right by the Reagan threat?
No, I don't think so. I think he's done, and this is what I respect and admire about him. I think this man has the courage to look at the situations, and when he's decided what is in the best long-term interest of the United States, he's ready to take that position regardless of its short-term political liabilities. Now, to me, this is one of the great qualities. This is what the American people are looking for. This is what this country needs, is that kind of courage. There's too many people playing the short-term political expediency game.
Sure, but you have to win, after all.
Yes, I know, but this man didn't seek the presidency. He was thrust, this was thrust upon him, and he feels he must serve the American people. Now, therefore, it's no wonder he's gone down in the polls against an attractive personality who hasn't had to deal with the issues. You know, I mean, he's got some broad concepts which are very popular, and I understand them, but President Ford, just like on this tax cut, he's trying to stop federal spending. And I think that he's absolutely right. We're spending more money we've got. Look at the trouble New York City's been in. It's because they spent more than they had. The federal government has done exactly. Congress has criticized New York. They've done exactly what New York's done, only in spades. The only difference is they can print the money.
Mr. Vice President, we thank you so much for being with us this morning.